This is another day that the Lord has made. We do have reason to rejoice and
rejoice.
Remember how the song goes? What the world needs now is but not just any kind of love will do. We need the love of God. And we have it as evidenced through Jesus. In love, God has given us His Word, which gives us life-enhancing to-dos and not-to-dos, along with life-giving news, which gives us peace and motivation to pass along what the world needs, and that is love. More on what the world needs as we get into our worship service on this day. Let us now turn our attention to our first hymn, hymn 260. Please rise as we continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy. Hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. Amen. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Jesus Christ, preserve the congregation of believers with your never-failing mercy. Help us avoid whatever is wicked and harmful, and guide us in the way that leads to our salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. On this 15th Sunday after that special outpouring of the Holy Spirit, our first reading comes to us from Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, where we receive a strong encouragement to be careful with what the Lord God says to us. In this case, to know His will and to do it. We hear these words. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children, and to their children after them. The Word of the Lord. We turn our attention now to the insert, the first song of Isaiah, and just note that we sing the refrain twice in the beginning and twice at the end. The soloist will sing the verses. Again, a strong encouragement to be careful with God's way of life for us, such as for our benefit and for the benefit of others. This encouragement from James chapter 1. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The word of the Lord. Rise for the gospel reading. Take it from the Holy Gospel of St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Again, strong encouragement to be careful with God's way of life for us. In this instance, to not turn his word into something he did not intend. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." The word of the Lord. Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, and this is from God our Father, through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We go back to our first reading for this Sunday from Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you have it accessible, I'd ask you to read with me verse 2, verse 2 of Deuteronomy 4. We read together, "Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you." This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, we pray, teach us, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then we will keep them to the end. Give us understanding, and we will keep your law and obey it with all our hearts. Direct us in the path of your commands, for there we find delight. Turn our hearts toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn our eyes away from worthless things. Preserve our life according to your word. Amen. What did we just ask God to do for us? And why did we ask this of him? There is so much to learn when it comes to this life. And so what better place to learn the why and the how and the what than with God's word? After all, he wrote the book. He wrote where life came from. He wrote where and how life is supposed to be lived. And he also wrote why it is good for us to live life his way. And so with that prayer from Psalm 119, we also learn that God's advice is not to be viewed as just a mere suggestion, but rather something that we ought to give our serious attention to and then put what we hear into practice or else. Now, the else is not meant to be a threat, but rather an indication of how much God loves us. And in giving us these words, he also spells out how best to show our love back to him, the giver of all good things, not the least of such, is the gift of eternal salvation. That strong encouragement then before us to heed the word of the Lord was not new with the psalmist. God has been consistent from the beginning of time in his intent for people, you, me, everyone included, to heed his words. Our sermon text, then, is just another example, our text from Deuteronomy. It takes us to that time when the children of Israel were being prepared to enter that earthly promised land, a land that God had promised Abraham his descendants would be able to live in and occupy for the main purpose of having the Savior come from that part of the world. Another promise kept by God. Another reason for the children of Israel to be given this land was so that they could be God's witnesses to the people that they would come into contact with. Thus the Lord says to Old Testament Israel, "Hear now, O Israel, the decrees," and that word emphasizes the binding nature, the permanence of God's word. "Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws," and that word emphasizes the instructive nature of God's word. And so hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. God was not giving Israel an option. Listen up and obey. God was not asking too much of his chosen people, Israel, the people he had rescued from slavery in Egypt, the people that he had set apart to be his own, the people that he had given a distinct purpose to, which no other group of people would be given. And so Israel, it was said to them, simply keep the Lord your God first and foremost. Show that he is such by keeping your pants zipped around women who are not your wife, By not getting drunk and so put yourself in a position to bring harm to yourself or even worse, to bring harm to someone else. By not bowing down to gods made out of wood or stone or in your leather wallet or your alligator purse. By not messing around with witchcraft, which gives Satan an easy foot into the door of your heart. By not being deceitful in your business transactions and so on. The Ten Commandments, then, which are recorded for us in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, serve as a great summary of the decrees and laws that the Lord God was giving to his people and all people of all time, that they were to give their attention to and so obey. These commandments sum up the law God has inscribed on the hearts of all people. So even people who do not have God in their life do have a sense of what is right and wrong. These commandments, then, can best be summed up in one word, and that word is love. If God did not love us, He would not have given and reiterated these commandments for all time and all people. And out of love, then, for the God who has loved us first, we want to do nothing else but to listen to grasp, and to put into practice these commandments to God's glory, to our benefit, and to the benefit of others, spiritual most of all. God gave Israel a promise with these commands. Follow them, and you will be able to live, and you will be able to go into that land I'm about to give you and make the most of it. Well, history lets us know that Israel did not heed well, did they, these decrees and laws of the Lord God. They broke such before God by prostrating to false idols, by doing shady business transactions, by doing other unloving activity in the face of God. Their disobedience ended up costing them not only their land, but more importantly, it cost some of them entrance into the heavenly promised land, along with some of their children not being able to enter that promised land due to not passing on the commands and decrees and laws of the Lord. Failure to listen and to obey comes with consequences. The Lord wanted the opposite for them. He kept it simple. Keep my commands, and such will be a blessing to you. The Lord's will for people has not changed. He still wants people to keep His commands and promises that obedience to such will be a blessing. His commands are not out of touch. People who say such a thing are only using that as an excuse to justify their own sinful lifestyle. His commands are not unfair. Again, an excuse used by those who want to justify doing life their way rather than God's way. The Lord makes it clear that His commands were not and are not in need of change. He says, do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. The only one who can make adjustments to the word is God Himself. God has not changed either the way of salvation. It is still by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus the Savior, apart from any good works that we do. God has not changed His stance on those who do not believe in Jesus for salvation. They will not be able to enter heaven. The Lord has not changed His definition of sin. He has not done these things because His commands, His entire word for that matter, that was written down for us, is for our benefit and for the benefit of others. It is meant to be a blessing, and it is. When we listen to the word of our Lord and obey the Lord's commands, our conscience can be clear. A guilty conscience or a riddled with guilt conscience can be a taxing situation. Reputations are at stake. God had set Israel apart to be His very own. They were to be setting the example for all the nations around them. They were to uphold God's reputation. They were to uphold their own God-led reputation. But again, we know that they did not heed this word of the Lord, as even the Lord God had to call his people an adulterous people, easily led into sin. Magazine covers would have had a field day with Israel's indiscretions. Why would the nations around Israel want to come and worship their God, the God that they professed to worship, if all they knew about their God was Israel's sins? Would people want to worship the God that you and I worship if all they know of him is by how we live our life? Our words and our actions can positively or negatively impact people when it comes to their being able to have a relationship with God. God's directive to us then is to hear, observe, and be careful with his commands, decrees, and laws, even more so today as back then. As those words are so vital to life then and now. So, dear people of God, let us be careful with God's commands. Not only that by doing such will be a blessing to us, but also be a life-saving witness to those we come into contact with, including the next generation. We could be one generation away from people not being able to hear the gospel. Now, this may seem like a stretch, but consider how much our world has strayed in the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years from God and his decrees. Thankfully, God has not extinguished the light of the gospel. Thankfully, God still allows us to be his light in this world, which is full of darkness and sin and unbelief. Israel was to be a leader, not a follower. We too, as God's people, are to be leaders when it comes to doing what is right and what is decent and what is just and what is God-pleasing. With such leading will come heartache, as people will not always appreciate your doing the right thing and trying to do that right thing and encouraging others to do the right thing. Not only will some not appreciate your encouragement, they will try to bring you down to their level. In our desire to fit in, to get along, we need to recognize the temptation and by God's grace resist despite the name-calling and the mocking and the attempt to ruin our reputation on social media or somewhere else. Be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves, our Lord has said. That is, be smart about what we say and how we say it, not giving those who oppose us any means to be justified in their complaint against us. And so keep the Lord's commands. Such will be a blessing to us and a life-saving witness to others, our Lord says. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Not only do we have a responsibility to pass on God's commands onto others, we also have a responsibility to pass on God's good news onto others. As Israel was to always remember what the Lord God had done for them, how he had delivered them from Egypt, even before how he was with his people before their time in Egypt, and why the Lord was giving them this earthly promised land, so we too are to remember what the Lord has done for us, knowing that apart from him, we would not be able and not have the desire to keep his commands the way he intends us to keep them. Pass along to others, especially the next generation, the good news of the gospel. God kept yet another promise that he had made to and through Israel, A Savior, by His own doing, would come and take human flesh and live among us for a while. Prove that He was and is the promised one. Live a perfect life that we cannot live. Take that perfection to His death, as the only way to atone for sin completely was through death. But not just any death would do. It had to be the death of the perfect Lamb, Jesus. And then not die by just any means, but by death on a cross. What some then consider to be brutal and ugly, a bloody Savior, is in reality a life-giving sentence for us, so that we don't have to pay for our sins. Such already paid for us. Israel was to put their hope in the upcoming fulfillment of this promise. You and I, we have the benefit of falling back on that fulfillment. As we do then, the gospel frees our conscience from guilt. The gospel frees us to obey God's commands as we see how such are a blessing to us and to others. A kind word can go a long way. A helping hand can be of more help than we might ever realize. Adults have the responsibility to not just say to others, "Do as I say," but also to do what they say others are to do. If we are not taking the commands of God seriously as adults, why should our children? To help us then keep God's commands the way He intends, we gather together to build us up in the faith. We attend Bible study to grow even further in the faith. We set an example and send our children to Sunday school and also our Lutheran elementary school as circumstances allow. We model forgiveness in the home. We mind our speech in the home, in the workplace, on the sports field, everywhere. Why? Well, as a compliment to these words of Deuteronomy and really all our readings and hymns today, driving home that same message, let's close by reading together Psalm 1. It's found on page 64 in the front part of the hymnal. Psalm 1 on page 64. We read, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen." Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker and maker of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the
He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
We pray. Lord, you love the cheerful giver who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. Amen. We now join in the prayer of the church. Holy Spirit, we praise you for pouring out your spiritual understanding on Jesus' disciples at Pentecost. You came to them when they were confused and in doubt and taught them what Jesus meant when he told them he would die and rise again. You came to them when they were timid and afraid. You moved them to speak boldly about the great things God had done to save the world from sin.
Dear Holy Spirit, we too have felt uncertain and hesitant. Give us the courage and conviction of faith to speak to others about Jesus as you enable the disciples to do on Pentecost. Let us experience the joy of leading others to discover the way to heaven through faith in Jesus.
Forgive us, Holy Spirit, for the times we have failed to speak of Jesus' love to others because we were afraid. Forgive us for not trusting in your power and for not relying on your word of truth to bring others to faith. Help us remember your promises that when we share the Savior with others, you will be with us and will give us the words to say. Lord of love and life, you chasten and you heal. We commend to your care our sisters Myrtle Brown, who fell this past week, and Martha Schmidt, as she is scheduled to have a medical procedure this week. Bring healing of body to both of them, along with more patient endurance during these physical setbacks. Above all, renew Myrtle and Martha with the news of your ever-abiding love for them through Jesus, their Savior and ours. As Greg Meyer and family mourn the death of his mother, so close to losing their father, We ask that you continue to lift Greg and family up through the grace and peace you provide. We give thanks for the fact she is now basking in the rays of her Savior Jesus. Help the family be your witnesses as they mourn, while at the same time we have reason to celebrate life in your name. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. Renew the love between husbands and wives, especially those among us celebrating their wedding anniversary. May they not take such love and milestones for granted, and may we, their friends and family, continue to support them in living life in your ways. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Empower us to seize every opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus' love and salvation. Open the hearts of people everywhere so that many thousands will enter the kingdom of believers through the gospel, which your church proclaims throughout the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are his children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Sins are forgiven. Amen.
Please stand. The prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Morning again, just to highlight a Bible study. We're starting a new Bible study series in the month of September here in the church. It's called Proclaiming Peace Through Jesus. It's a five-part series, so hopefully you can stay for that. If you're going to the Foundations course, wrapping that up in the next couple of weeks, that takes place in the next building in the chapel. A new Foundations course will be beginning for those interested in membership or a review. That starts September 16th. This will be an evening session again, so 5 o'clock in the evening. More information about that will be coming forth. For those families new to our school, they'll be receiving a special invitation regarding that Foundations course. For our visitors, our guests among us today, welcome. Please stop by the Visitor's Center if you haven't done so already. We have a gift waiting for you. LWMS Mission Box Sunday, thank you for your support. A lot of great stuff there on the information bulletin board about LWMS and so much more. Hopefully you can take time to read what's there. We need mighty warriors for this coming Saturday to hand out invites to our community cook-off, which is coming soon. So if you're willing to help this coming Saturday in the morning to hand out those invites, see the weekly news for information, or talk to Jim Oswald or Brett Bingle or Pastor Groth. They'll help you with more information. And don't forget to invite yourself to the community cook-off. Go to our website for more details. For more timely information, I direct you to the weekly news. Copies are printed out for you. You can also get it online. If you don't have it, to your email box, hey, we can gladly do that for you. We'll send it there. Have a great day in the Lord. Make sure you have an opportunity to greet your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're here to encourage one another in the great word of our Lord. Have a great day. Thank you.